ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नश्यतायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवद्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकीः। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18. The residents of Jambudvip offer prayers. Text 28. Bhavan Yuga Anta Arnave Urmi Malini Shoni Ima Oshadi Vihudham Nidhim Maya Saha Uru Kramate Aja Ojasa Tasmai Jaga Prana Gana Atmane Namaha Iti Bhavan Yukanta Arnavur Mimalini Kshoni Imamo Shadi Rudhamini Maya Sahoru Kramate Ja Ojasa Tasmai Jagat Prana Ganatmane Namahiti Bhavan Yugantar Navagur Mimalini Shonim Imam Oshati Virudham Nidhim Maya Sahoru Kramate Ja Ojasa Tasmai Jagat Prana Ganatmane Nama Iti Bhavan Yuganta Arnava Urmi Malini Kshoni Nimamo Shadi Virudham Nidhim Maya Sahoru Kramate Ja Ojasa Tasmai Jagat Prana Ganatmane Namahiti
Shadi Virudham Nidhim
मया सहोरो क्रमते जोदसा
तस्मै जगत्प्राणगणात्मने नमः इति
तस्मै जगत्प्राणगणात्मने नमः इति भवान् युगान्तार्णवोर्मिमालिनी तस्मै अंटु हिम जगत ऑफ द एंटायर यूनिवर्स प्राण गण आत्मने द अल्टीमेट सोर्स ऑफ लाइफ नमः माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस इति दस Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O Almighty Lord, at the end of the millennium, this planet Earth, which is the source of all kinds of herbs, drugs and trees, was inundated by water and drowned beneath the devastating waves. At that time, you protected me along with the earth and roamed the sea with great speed. O unborn one, you are the actual maintainer of the entire universal creation, and therefore you are the cause of all living entities. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Envious persons cannot appreciate how wonderfully the Lord creates, maintains, and annihilates the universe. But devotees of the Lord can understand this perfectly well. Devotees can see how the Lord is acting behind the wonderful workings of the material nature. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 9 text 10, the Lord says, Mayadhyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. All the wonderful transformations of nature are happening under the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Envious persons cannot see this, but a devotee, even though very humble, and even if uneducated, knows that behind all the activities of nature is the Supreme Hand of the Supreme Being. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Santam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Tadesha Dharine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lankayate Girin Yatripata Mahamande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratushe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishna Bhaktarupa Svarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachit Upasana Vrajavadu Varkenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam Premakumartho Mahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabho Matavidam Tatra Dharana Parahan He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So very fishy narration going on here. The word fishy, when used in everyday language, has a negative connotation, because you say that in the context of something that's very suspicious, something that doesn't look good. But when anything is connected to the Supreme Lord, then everything becomes divine. It becomes perfect. So when the Lord appears as a fish, then all the fishy pastimes that take place become transcendentally wonderful, purifying and exhilarating. Because whenever the Lord appears, it is an extraordinary event. It's a transcendental event. The pastimes of the Lord are actually very bewildering to the ordinary living entity of this world, who is not acquainted with the ways of devotional service. Kunti Maharani prays in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, Janma Karma Cha Vishvatman Ajasya Karturatmanah Tiryan Rishishiyadhasu Tad Atyanta Vidambanam. She says, my dear Lord, you are born in this world, Janma. You perform activities in this world, Karma. Although you are the soul of this whole universe, Vishva Atman, at the same time, you are Aja, one who is unborn. You are Akartahu, one who doesn't have any need to perform any activities. Ajasya Kartur Atmanaha. And not only that, despite the fact that you are the super soul of everything that exists, you appear in this material world in so many species of life. Telian, the animals, Indri, in the human species of life, Rishi, among the sages, Yadahasu, among the aquatics. So therefore, verily, this is very bewildering. Tad Atyanta Vidambana. Atyanta means very much. Vidambanam means bewildering. So Srila Prabhupada explains that the appearance of the Lord, as Kunti sees it, is inconceivable to the ordinary, limited, mundane intellect. And it is full of apparent contradictions. For example, as Kunti Maharani explains here, Krishna descends into this world and performs various activities, but still he doesn't work. He doesn't have any need to work, but still he comes and performs an unlimited variety of wonderful pastimes. Similarly, the Lord is Aja, one who is never born, but still he gets born, and even then in different species of life. So what appears to be contradictory is perfectly resolved in the Absolute Truth. Because all dualities and all contradictions are resolved or reconciled perfectly in the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is beyond all dualities. And for the devotee, these contradictions make the Lord even more glorious, even more wonderful. And these apparent contradictions only serve to increase the appreciation of the devotee for the glories of the Lord, and they nourish his or her devotional kripa. The devotees just marvel at the wonderful activities the Lord does and the different unique ways in which he accomplishes all these things. Whereas for a mundane intellect, these things can be full of contradictions, can be bewildering. So why is it that even though the Lord's pastimes and the Lord himself is inconceivable, he can be understood by the devotees? Of course, not completely, because the Lord can't be understood completely by anyone. But the devotees can somewhat understand the Lord. What is the reason for that? Vedesh durlabham adurlabham atmabhakto. That's the answer. Because the devotees have established a relationship of love with the Supreme Lord. Because they see with eyes anointed with the pulp of devotion to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Lord, being captured by their devotion, reveals the truths about Himself to them. Srila Prabhupada used to quote this verse very often. Atah Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grahyam Indriyai Sevon Mukhi Jivvado Svayam Eva Svurat Yadaha. Normally, by material senses and the material mind and intelligence, it is not possible to understand the name, fame, form, pastimes, paraphernalia, etc. of the Supreme Lord. But when the devotees serve Him very faithfully and lovingly, then automatically these truths become revealed within the heart of the devotee. So Krishna consciousness, spiritual life, is all about revelation. It's not about conquest. It's not about trying to conquer the Lord by our austerities or by our intellectual prowess or by any other means that is material. The Lord can be conquered only by love. And that is what Krishna consciousness or the bhakti yoga process is all about. So because the devotees serve the Lord, then they can reconcile these contradictions in their mind, and what appears to be faults or deficiencies in the Lord to a mundane intellect, these become embellishments and ornaments on the supreme character of the transcendental Lord. And they just increase the appreciation of the devotees for the Lord. The Lord appears as Matsya Avatar in the family of aquatics, Yambhasu. As in the animal species of life, He appears as Varahadev, for example, as a transcendental boar. Sometimes as half animal, half human, like in a Narasimhadev avatar. Amongst the sages, He appears as Narayan. In the human species, He appears as Krishna, as Ram. And in every situation, wherever and whenever the Lord appears, He remains the supremely transcendental Lord. Because He appears in the human species, He doesn't become a human. He remains the Lord. Because He appears among the aquatics, like Matsya, He doesn't become a fish. He remains the Supreme Lord. He retains His divinity and transcendental supremacy at all times, in all situations and circumstances. So this is the transcendental secret about the Lord. And because the devotees very faithfully accept this, then the glories of the Lord become revealed to them. So the Matsya avatar, it is said, appeared twice in this day of Brahma. As we all know, there are 14 manmantaras, 14 manus who appear in one day of Brahma. The first manmantara was Svayambhuva manmantara. Literally, the word manmantara means the time interval between two manus. So the first manmantara was the Svayambhuva manmantara. And at that time, the Supreme Lord appeared as Matsya Avatar to retrieve the Vedas, which had been stolen by a demon from Brahma when Brahma had a little snooze, when Brahma was taking a nap. And taking advantage of this opportunity, this demon, whose name was Hayagriva, stole the Vedas. When Brahma awoke, he realized that he needed the Vedas to know exactly how to continue the task of creation when the day dawned. And then in anxiety, not finding the Vedas, he went to Brahma, he went to the Supreme Lord, and then the Supreme Lord appeared as Matsya. He killed the demon Hayagriva, retrieved the Vedas, and gave it to Brahma. Interestingly, Hayagriva is a name not only of a demon, but also of the Supreme Lord. He is a demon who stole the Vedas, and the Lord had to appear as Matsya to retrieve it. And Hayagriva is also a name of an avatar of the Lord who appeared half horse and half human. Just as Narasimhadev was half lion and half human, so Hayagriva was half horse and half human. The word Hayagriva means one who had the neck of a horse. Griva means neck, Haya means a horse. And he appeared to also retrieve the Vedas. That's also very interesting. And he did that when two demons called Madhu and Kaitabha, they stole the Vedas from Brahma in another day of Brahma, another Kalpa. And the Lord appeared as Hayagriva. And he tricked them into returning the Vedas to Brahma and actually into achieving their own death, because they had a boon that they could die only at their own will and not otherwise. So the Lord overpowered them. The boon didn't prohibit somebody from overpowering them or defeating them. It only prohibited somebody from killing them. So the Lord overpowered them, took away the Vedas, gave the Vedas back to Brahma, but still the task remained to kill them. So then he went forward to Madhu and Kaitabha and began glorifying them and said, "Oh, you are so great, you are so powerful." And that inflated the ego of the demons. And they said, "Yes, yes, we are very great. So what benediction do you want from us? We want your death." So that's how Madhu and Kaitabha died. Incidentally, that's also why Krishna is known as Madhusudana. He did that as Hayagriva. So anyway, the Matsya avatar appeared one time in the Swayambhuva Manu and got the Vedas back to Brahma. The second time he appeared was the episode that is being described here. And that was at the end of the sixth Manvantara, which is the Chakshusha Manvantara. And regarding this also, there are different narrations which vary in their details. And the reason for that is called Kalpa Bheda, which means that the Lord appears in every day of Brahma in different incarnations, and each time there may be differences in the details of his appearance, and there may be differences also in the way in which the Lord acts. So we have so many different narrations about the same incarnation, because these incarnations have happened at different times. And the scriptures record them, and sometimes not in a chronological sequence. So we may get a little puzzled. But there is no need to be puzzled. We can just understand that all these things are true. They are simultaneously true. So when the Lord appeared in the sixth Manvantara as the Matsya avatar, at that time he saved King Satyavrata. Now the prayers that we are studying, reading here in the 18th chapter of the 5th canto, verses 28 and those few verses before that, these are prayers from which are sung by Vivasvata Manu, the son of the sun god Vivasvan. And Vivasvata Manu was formerly the king Satyavrata. The sixth Manvantara was called the Chakshusha Manvantara. The seventh Manvantara is called the Vaivasvata Manvantara, because Vaivasvata, the son of Vivasvan, is the Manu at this time. And from Manu comes the word man, or Manava, and so on. So now Vaibhasrata Manu remembered his previous appearance as Satyavrata. And as Satyavrata, one time the Lord appeared to him, and he said that he appeared as a small fish, and of course we all know the story of how the fish was originally very tiny, and the Lord and Satyavrata placed him in a water jug, he became big, he transferred into a well, he became big, to a lake, he became big, into a large reservoir, which still was not adequate. Finally he placed him in the ocean, and he was even bigger and bigger. Then Satyavrata Maharaj understood that this was actually the Supreme Lord. He offered obeisances and inquired as to the purpose for the Lord's advent. The Lord blessed him and said that I have come here to deliver the living entities. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purports therein that every appearance of the Lord has a purpose. And even when he came as Matsya Avatar, he had a plan. And his plan was to deliver the living entities who were bound here in the cycle of birth and death. So then he appeared as Matsya and he said, very soon there will be a flood. So you should gather all the herbs and the seeds and plants and creepers and so on. Get the seven sages, the brahmanas, and different species of life, and come on board the boat which will come to you. And I will take you all around the oceans, the waters of devastation. And that is the point that is being remembered here by Vaibhasvata Manu in this verse. And he says here, Kshonim imam oshati virudham nidhim. Kshonim refers to the earth. And he says, you ask me, my dear Lord, for the protection of the earth and for my protection, to gather the oshadi and virudham, all the herbs and creepers. And the earth is also a reservoir of these herbs and creepers. Therefore, now the name of the earth is Vasudha or Vasundhara. Vasu means wealth. Vasudha means she who holds wealth. Vasundhara means the same thing. So the earth is a reservoir of all types of wealth. It's interesting that the Lord should have asked King Satyavrata to get the herbs and seeds and creepers along. Generally, you see, when you flee, you know, sometimes there happens to be a forest fire or a flood or something like that. And people who are afflicted, they want to save their life and they run away. Of course, if it's an extreme emergency, you just run. You don't worry about anything else you've left behind at home. But if you have a little time, then you'd like to take away the valuables. So what are the valuable things you take away? You'll take away your gold and diamonds and your cash or some other things that you consider valuable, put it in a small bag and run off to save your life. So it's interesting that of all the things that the Lord considered valuable for King Satyavrata to bring with him, apart from the sages and the brahmanas, was the herbs and creepers and the seeds. In other words, this is real wealth. That's why the earth is called Vasudha or Vasundhara. And this is the wealth that the earth can give us. Real wealth is not our bank balance or the gold and diamonds we have, not the output of the factories. And as Srila Prabhupada one time famously said, you cannot eat nuts and bolts when you're hungry. You have to eat the produce of the earth. We have to be satisfied with grains and vegetables and fruits and so on. So I would like to read a section of the purport by Srila Prabhupada to a beautiful verse spoken by Kunti Maharani in the 8th chapter of the first canto. Kunti Maharani prays to Krishna and says, Imajana padas vriddhaha supakoshadi devutaha vanadrina tutan manto yedante tava vikshitaihi. All these little cities and towns and pasturing grounds or villages, all of them, they are very opulent at this time, and including even big cities, because the herbs and grains are in abundance. Supakoshati virudhaha. And vanatri nadyudanvanto. The trees are full of fruits, the rivers are flowing, the hills are full of minerals, and the oceans are full of wealth. And this is all due to your glancing over them. And I will read a portion of the purport. Quote, human prosperity flourishes by natural gifts and not by gigantic industrial enterprises. The gigantic industrial enterprises are products of a godless civilization, and they cause the destruction of the noble aims of human life. The more we go on increasing such troublesome industries to squeeze out the vital energy of the human being, the more there will be unrest and dissatisfaction of the people in general, although a few only can live lavishly by exploitation. The natural gifts, such as grains and vegetables, fruits, rivers, the hills of jewels and minerals, and the seas full of pearls, are supplied by the order of the Supreme. And as he desires, material nature produces them in abundance or restricts them at times. The natural law is that the human being may take advantage of these godly gifts by nature and satisfactorily flourish on them without being captivated by the exploitative motive of lording it over material nature. The more we attempt to exploit material nature according to our whims of enjoyment, the more we shall become entrapped by the reaction of such exploitative attempts. If we have sufficient grains, fruits, vegetables, and herbs, then what is the necessity of running a slaughterhouse and killing poor animals? A man need not kill an animal if he has sufficient grains and vegetables to eat. The flow of rivers fertilizes the fields, and there is more than what we need. Minerals are produced in the hills and the jewels in the oceans. If the human civilization has sufficient grains, minerals, jewels, water, milk, etc., then why should we hanker after terrible industrial enterprises at the cost of the labor of some unfortunate men? But all these natural gifts are dependent on the mercy of the Lord and achieve the perfection of life by devotional service. The indications of Kunti Devi are just to the point. She desires that God's mercy be bestowed upon them so that natural prosperity be maintained by His grace. Sometimes when you read Srila Prabhupada's purports, we're just struck with wonder at the sheer eloquence of the purports. Concise, every sentence is loaded with so much meaning, and it is just so enlightening. So Prabhupada here speaks in this purport about what real wealth is. They are the natural gifts which we so often take for granted. So King Satyavrata was told by the Lord to bring these natural gifts with him, because that would be necessary for resuming civilization once the waters of devastation had subsided. And the important point that is made here in this verse, as well as in the verse of Srimati Kunti Devi that I just mentioned, Tava Vikshitai, which means by your glance. So everything happens wonderfully because of the Lord's merciful glance. So Prabhupada explains, we need only two things to have a happy life. One are the gifts of nature for maintaining our bodies, and second is the merciful glance of the Lord. And the merciful glance of the Lord can be brought upon us if we follow His instructions by becoming sincere devotees, by chanting His holy names, and so on. Then everything wonderful will happen. We do not need anything else. In today's verse, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes the Bhagavad Gita verse, Mayadrakshena Prakratihi Sunyate Sacharakshanam, which indicates that material energy functions under the divine superintendence of the Supreme Lord. So Mayadhyakshena Prakratihi. Maya Adhyakshena Prakratihi. Maya means under me, under my. Adhyakshena means supervision. Prakriti means material energy. In another place, Prabhupada makes an interesting comment about the word Adhyakshena. Adhyaksha means the superintendent. Adhya and Aksha. Aksha means eyes. So Srila Prabhupada says that Mayadhyakshena Prakriti means that Prakriti is going on according to Krishna's glance. And we know that from the Srimad Bhagavatam, when we know to study the process of creation, it all happens by the glance of Mahavishnu. And the glance continues. It's not that Mahavishnu glances just one time, but he keeps glancing at every stage. Just as when we are cooking a meal, it's not that you just put things in a vessel and just sit back. You have to stir, you have to adjust the flame. We have to do so many things constantly when the cooking is going on. So at every step in the process of creation of the universe, the Lord's merciful glance is required. Without that, the creation is incomplete. It cannot happen without that. And even once the creation is manifested, for the creation to exist harmoniously and for the living entities to live peacefully in the midst of natural opulences, the merciful glance of the Lord is required. Natural disturbances and calamities are simply because the Lord's glance of mercy is no longer there. That is because the human beings in particular have committed so many sinful activities. They have gone against the orders of the Supreme Lord that the Lord takes away His merciful glance. So therefore the secret of success in life is these two things. Just live a simple, natural life. Don't complicate life, as Prabhupada said. Simple living, high thinking. By simple living, we live in harmony with nature, which is Krishna's nature. Nature is Mother Nature, and the Father is Krishna. And high thinking means attracting the mercy of the Lord by devotional service. Then our life will become perfect. And this is the kind of prayer that Vaivasvata Muni Manu is making to his worshipable Lord, the Matsya Avatar. So we'll stop here for any comments or any questions. Yes, Gaurav Prabhu. Do we have a mic here?
Okay, sorry.
Thank you very much for having me in class, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I was thinking, as you pointed out, how Gaitava and Madhu stole the Vedas at one point.
I actually stole them at another point.
We have other modern examples, for example, the Nazis during World War II, they are also attracted to the Vedas. So it seems even the demons, they have a great appreciation for the Vedas, but they don't want the Vedas without the Lord. They want the kingdom of God without God. Similarly, there is a modern movement today called permaculture or sustainability. I took one of these courses. And
there's many people there who very much
appreciate this concept of living the simple life. And they revere Mother Nature, who they call Gaia, as a goddess. And there's a whole movement called ecofeminism,
where they have this great faith that
the Mother Nature will conquer over all. But our challenge is how to help this great, this ever-increasing number of people who are interested in a way of life. Acknowledge that along with Mother Nature, there's also a father, because there's this resistance, because they've seen so many atrocities in the name of God. As soon as you bring God in the picture, they're very skeptical.
So many more terrible things going on.
So those are just some thoughts I had based on.
Thank you very much, Lord Prabhu. Yes, some very insightful points. Even the demons are attracted to the Vedas because they can use them for their own purposes. The Vedas are like a wish-fulfilling tree. Whatever we want, we can fulfill through the Vedas, material, spiritual, anything. So yes, it's the devotees who only understand the true purpose of the Vedas. Vedasya sarve amiva vedyaha. The Vedas are meant only for understanding Krishna. And the second point about some environmentalists or people who want to live in harmony with nature but without God. So one could think of it, that's also a very valid point, that they want Mother Nature but they don't want Father God. It's like a broken family in which you have a mother, a child is there with the mother and there's no father. To have a complete family, you need mother, father, child. So what they're aspiring for is a broken home. Maybe they're just doing that because that's their experience in the modern world. In the modern world today, so many families are broken families. But all we need to do is to tell them, come to the complete family. Bring the father into the picture as well. So ecofeminism is fine, you want mother, but it doesn't mean you have to be anti-father. We also need father. Mother, father together with children makes a happy family. So they want simple living but not high thinking. Artha kukutti nyaya, the logic of the half hen. They want something but not the other part. Prabhupada says, when you speak of nature, you ask the question, whose nature? So it's God's nature, it's Krishna's nature, right? But yes, it's important to give them that missing element. There's something missing there. What they're doing is alright, it's good, but it can be better. And the better is just to add Krishna, or God at least, to their thinking. Thank you for those good points. Any other questions? Yes, on my end, please.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the discussion. The pragmatic considerations of most devotees today around the world depends a lot on industrial enterprises. As you were reading from Srila Prabhupada, he was describing how such dependence destroys the noble aims of life. So our noble aim as devotees, of course, is devotional service, attaining Krishna consciousness, prema. But as our dependence on the industrial enterprises can be seen somewhat prevalent, then our devotional service is often encumbered by such dependence. Although our chanting goes on, perhaps hearing goes on in a ritualistic sort of way, but the internal development may be lacking because of our over-absorption of pragmatic considerations of life, which depends on these industrial enterprises. So you ended the class with the message of the need for simple living, and attracting the mercy of the Lord. So the attracting the mercy of the Lord point is seen very clear for us, just chant the holy names, etc. But when it comes to practically living simply for most devotees across the planet, we seem to be very much stuck in our movement. And although we've discussed Varnashram quite theoretically, we don't seem to have very successful simple living communities. So my question is, I was wondering how we might take some steps for practically living a simple life, and maybe not just, you know, speaking about it theoretically.
Okay, yes.
That's a whole other class.
Yes, that's a topic for a class in itself. Well, what to do? Make the best use of a bad bargain. That's what Prabhupada said here. This material world is like that. Do the best we can. And there are devotees who are dependent for their economics on industries, and they're living like that, and they're unwilling or unable to come to a different type of life. Well, at least chant Hare Krishna. And make your life as simple as you can in that situation. So, as is where it is, step where we are now, let's try to make it simple. Even if I'm living off the industrial civilization, still, let me simplify. Let me not flow with the consumerist flow. The consumerist society today is consume, consume, consume. The political leaders are telling you to consume more because that's how the economy will flourish. Because you have to buy, buy, buy. So we consume more goods than we really need. And as Prabhupada says in one purport, we accumulate unnecessary necessities. So things are not really necessary, but we think they are necessary. So we accumulate. So even in an urban kind of situation, we can try to simplify our life by reducing our accumulation of material goods, reducing our consumption, and trying to make do with whatever bare minimum is possible. Next time you want to buy something in the market, you think, okay, do I really need it? And if the answer is yes, we can ask ourselves again, do we really, really need it? It's still yes, do we really, really, really need it? Okay, so we make life simple like that. And for those who are more enterprising or who are sufficiently frustrated with modern industrial life, yes, the options are there. There aren't many projects going on. But it needs devotees who are willing to commit themselves to such things. Then these projects will happen. But it needs awareness to be created. It needs also the skills that go with it. Just an intellectual conviction is not sufficient. One has to equip oneself with the skills that are required to live like that, number one. And it calls for a lot of mental preparedness. Because one is so accustomed to urban comforts and urban lifestyles, to shift to another location where the lifestyle is completely, totally different, may be difficult. So what happens eventually is that you have city living in the countryside. So you surround yourself with all the urban amenities, but only in a rural context, that's all. So that's eventually what happens. So, well, I guess it will take a few generation or two before this thing sets in. So we just have to talk it out and encourage devotees who want to move in this direction to do so. Okay, yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. And, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that switched on?
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
And these topics are really, really important. Srila Prabhupada, of course, was Trikalaya, and he knew the future. And there are a number of times when Srila Prabhupada explained what the vision that the future is. At one point, he told Ramachandra Maharaj that he was talking about New Vrindavan, how they wanted to go and live in New Vrindavan. And Ramachandra who said, well, yes, Shiva Prabhupada didn't believe, you know, something Vihasa is going to go there, but Prabhupada said, why do you need Vihasa? He says, everyone should come and live in the farm. And then Ramachandra said, well, Prabhupada, the devotees are in the cities, most of them have jobs, they're supporting their family that way. Wouldn't it be better for them to just, you know, set up preaching centers in their home and, you know, preach to people that way? And, you know, because they have, you know, have their jobs to maintain their families. God's jobs. What are those jobs? He says, those jobs very soon be finished. And another time, Ramachandra Maharaj recounts that Srila Prabhupada said at one time, sometime there will be no jobs left in the city. There will be literally millions, not thousands, but millions of people leaving the cities, you know, looking for food, looking for engagement. And Prabhupada says, we have to have our farms, and we have to be able to absorb them. So Prabhupada had that vision, and we can see the whole, you know, trajectory of the economy and the planet right now is headed a certain direction because, as you've said very eloquently, Krishna has removed his glance. So, you know, as devotees, you know, Prabhupada's purpose was first of all create a section of Brahmins, intelligent persons. So if we're actually intelligent, then we should see the future, what's happening with the global economy, and we should try to be ahead of the curve, as Srila Prabhupada is, because everything is coming back forcefully to a simple lifestyle. Why not be ahead of the curve and start things now?
Yeah, thank you very much for these comments, yes. Hare Krishna, it's time for prasadam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.